The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 240. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Adam Vail.
Yeah!
Yo, you wild, son. All right, so Brian will not be joining us for a couple of weeks. He's moving, people, but to just, like, a different part of London. He's not going to, like, another country or nothing, you know? And Brett, he's working, man, got to make that money, you know? We could all understand that.
That's right.
You know, all right, before we start, Adam, man, tell us about your epic fucking 10-hour telethon you did the other night.
Oh, fucking, yeah, WrestleCast. We're getting ready for the AEW show, the Fighter Fest. It was crazy. It was a crazy episode. It was a lot to talk about, a lot of news going on for people that have been out of the wrestling world. They'll probably be familiar with some of these names, like Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. Well, WWE is desperate now, and they hired these guys back to run their shows. The shit's hitting the fan. Again, really low ratings. No one's watching. Attendance is low at live events. So we had a lot to talk about that. And then just the pay-per-view itself was crazy. They had a hardcore match, barbed wire and, you know, glass and all kinds of thumbtacks. One dude, this guy, Dean Ambrose, who left, is now John Moxley. Anyway, the other guy who was fighting, he took his boots off and his socks and had him stand up on thumbtacks and shit. And then he threw him back and forth, so it was again in his crotch and everything. Oh my!
Was it AEW or?
It was the AEW at the last match last night. It was just crazy. There was thumbtacks. It was barbed wire wrapped around chairs and shit. They went all out on that one. You know, so it was funny.
Do you prefer AEW now to WWE?
Not yet. It's too soon. It's too soon. Because right now, AEW is just like a carnival show. They have a bunch of wrestlers of different types, some hardcore, some high flies, some lucha. And they're just putting them all together. They're just pushing them all together and just saying, hey, you want to see this guy versus this guy? Yeah, sure, sure. But let's see when they start doing a weekly show, which starts in October. If they can pull it in day in and day out and keep me interested, then yeah, then there you go. But right now, it's just a traveling road show. You know, they're just doing monthly pay-per-views, so we'll have to wait and see. I'm not getting all crazy about it like everybody else in the world, because there was some matches on this card, kind of sloppy. Just saying, people were dropping other people. People were missing spots completely. You know, doing a flip, nobody home, landing on their back. Shit was getting wrong, you know, so I'm not going to get all hyped on it. I'm glad this competition, you know, I hope they're a viable competition. I mean, Tony Khan, this guy has money, owns a football team. He owns Fulham, the EPL team. He's got money. So he's going to put money behind it and get some good talent. And I get that they have a lot of indie guys, and this is the first time they've been on this type of stage. But they got to get rid of those butterflies because tighten it up.
Yeah, and you were joined by some special guests, right, for the episode?
Yeah. Big Mike and Danny from the Platform podcast. So they jumped on. I told them, I said, yo, this is like a 15-hour event. Get some coffee. If you need to take some naps, get off camera, please. You know, and they did that. One guy was snoring a little bit. Dana fell asleep as usual. But she wakes up. She wakes up, you know. And then, I don't know, it was like 3, 4 in the morning. Maybe around 3:30 in the morning. And then it was over.
Damn.
So, what time did you start, though? 3:30?
I don't know. Maybe like 8, 7,
damn.
8.
Whoa.
There we go. We do that, you know. So that's it. It's one of those things. So we did that, and then that was it. And then I jumped on there in their chat on the next day, because I was surprised. They said, oh, we're going to do a Saturday show. They do one at like 12 noon. I'm like, I'm still sleeping. What are you talking about? Like, after I do these long shits, I can't. So I jumped in their chat, and they were talking about some stuff. And that was it. But it was good. They were cool people. It worked out. It was a good show.
Nice.
You know, and we're going to see if we get together for one of the other pay-per-views that comes on. So, because, you know, that was the thing. For those who remembered, like, Friday Night WrestleCast was every Friday, and it was just so long. And then sometimes it's not that much going on. It's like you want to do the build-up for the pay-per-view, so we'd be hyping up shit that hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. You know what I mean? So we're like, fuck it. Why are we doing that? We'll just come in when it's time for that show, because that's the shit everybody wants to talk about. When people don't watch wrestling all week and stuff, and they know a big show's coming up, like, I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Oh, Friday Night WrestleCast. They're going to do that whole thing right before the predictions and pre-shows. All right, let me just click that. You know, and those are usually when we hear responses, those are the reactions from people. They're like, oh yeah, I don't follow it, but I like to jump in and hear what the hell's going on every once in a while.
Nice. You know? By the way, shout out to Barry Burton with the Hulk Hogan emoji there. Perfect for the conversation.
Yo, brother. Yo, he's still alive. He's still wrestling. Well, no, not really. But he's in WWE. They brought him back the whole
Racist.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he's money, man. He's money. Well, he sells t-shirts.
I mean, they removed him from like everything for that.
For a little while. Tape, for a little while.
They unpersoned him.
Yeah, pretty much.
They did it. But the thing is, even for WrestleMania, he came out. You know, and he greeted the crowd and did that whole shebang. And is that the last WrestleMania, the one that they had over in Jersey?
Crazy.
Let me tell you something, brother.
This is the way I see it, though. This is the way I see it. And this applies across the board to anyone in entertainment, whether it's musicians or artists or actors. Try to separate the characters that you enjoy from the real person. Because most of the time, you're not going to like the real person. Mm-hmm. Real person will be a prick. You know, enjoy what they did. Hulk Hogan, I love Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea, I don't give two shits about him. You know, I just like the guy who comes out, rips his shirt, and says, let me tell you something, brother. That's the guy I want to hear. I don't want to hear the guy's thoughts on, like, how he feels about this person, that person, who's banging his daughter. I don't give a shit. That's not what I'm here for. You know, and that's it. Bruce Willis, biggest prick in the business, right? Everyone you hear from the actors that don't want to work with them, directors don't. But, hey, I like Die Hard. You know what I mean? Those are my favorite movies, so I don't give a shit. He's a great actor. He's great, but I don't need to know him. And that's the same thing with this. You know, I like Hulk Hogan. You like Hulk Hogan, brings back good memories. Then let's just enjoy that. But the real life person, nah.
I mean, that's what a lot of things are just like.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, actors and actresses are just kind of just, they got to be kind of nutty to do those sorts of jobs. So it's like, what, you know.
Yeah, it's like,
and, but I mean, the thing is that you also had a lot of other wrestlers, you know, who were black, they're like saying like, yo, that's not this dude, you know?
Yeah. And that's the other thing.
Booker T said it, you know, a bunch of other guys said it too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like people go into rant, you know, and that could have been just a rant, you know, when they just start ranting, raving, just saying this motherfucker,
and
we don't.
And Booker T is also guilty of saying and we're on national TV. He said it about Hulk Hogan, of all people.
Oh, man. Anyway, let's get into some questions, man. Okay, first up, Miguel Perez, man. All right, so he's asking, aren't you guys getting tired of all the Sega games feeling the same? For example, Judgment feels like all the previous Yakuza games. Judgment is going to feel like Yakuza because it's made by the same studio, and it literally takes place in the same world as Yakuza, so it's going to feel the same. But I don't know where you're getting that all the Sega games feel the same. Like, Sonic doesn't feel like Yakuza, you know? Valkyria Chronicles doesn't feel like Sonic, so I think he's just really talking about Judgment and Yakuza, but they're going to feel the same because it's the same studio, you know? And they did that on purpose. What happened?
Does it count Atlus games as well?
Yeah, he does. So, yeah, Persona don't feel like no fucking Judgment, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's just like, because we've had a lot of Yakuza games come out, like a lot of remakes and a lot of re-releases and stuff in the past couple of years. So maybe that's why you're getting that kind of feeling. But
and maybe he's thinking about Forza North Star, you know. But again, that's also the Yakuza studio, you know. Maybe you should ask: are Yakuza Studios games feeling the same? And yes, of course they do. It's the same studio, you know. And they kind of purpose. They have a very specific style. You know, but yeah, Sonic, Persona, the Total War games, they're all different. All right, next up, Matt Wheaton. So his question is, what would be your top three favorite Metroidvania games of all time? And then he says Super Metroid and Castle, any Castlevanias after Symphony of the Night do not count because that would be too easy. Oh, bad.
Wait, what? Oh, we can't do that?
No, can't. He says without counting those.
Without counting.
Right,
Metroid Samus Returns, that was fairly new.
But was that really...
that was new.
I'm gonna allow that. It's a Metroidvania game for sure. All right. Fuck it.
It is a Metroid game.
Literally a Metroid game.
You can't void that shit out.
Yeah, I got one that me and Chris could agree on. Axiom Verge. You know.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That was awesome.
That game was awesome.
Yo, somebody's fucking parrot?
It's all in the back. No,
what the fuck?
They're doing fireworks down the block.
Oh, fucking shit.
Damn. I have the window
Fourth
open.
4th of yeah. July is next week, buddy.
Nah, it started last month. It started last month.
Not in places where fireworks are legal.
Yeah,
man. It's already started.
Exactly.
don't matter.
So, yeah, we got Axiom Verge. Obvious one. Bloodstained, you know. What else? What's the name of
Guacamelee.
That one?
I like Guacamelee.
Is that a Metroidvania game? Yeah. Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
When you play, it's a Mexican wrestler running around. Yep.
Oh god, I'm forgetting the name of the game. Something Protocol, was it? Totally forgetting the name of the fucking game. It was an Xbox.
It was the Xbox game.
Yeah, yeah, it was an Xbox game. Yeah.
Shadow Complex.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. That was great.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. That's one of mine.
All right. What other ones we got?
There's so many. That's the thing. There's so many that came out over the years. Wasn't a Shovel Knight linked onto that whole thing?
I don't know if it was. Metroid.
I don't think that counts.
I think that was just a platformer.
Hollow Knight is not Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight's more like Mega Man and Super Mario merged together.
SteamWorld Dig. That was another one.
Yeah. Because
you had to do a lot of backtracking and running around, and there's different mazes and stuff. So I spent a lot of time in that for a while.
This one's going to sound weird, but it is a Metroidvania game. You know, it's 3D. Batman Arkham Asylum, the first one. That was a Metroidvania game if you thought about it. Like, you had to go around and, like, you couldn't progress unless you get specific items. Then you got to backtrack and get them and shit, you know? So I'm going to throw that one into the mix, too.
Oh, where you need to, so that way you can go into different parts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could
And the be. Maps start linking up with each other eventually, you know?
In the 3D world, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't played any of the Metroid Prime games. I'm assuming they play the same way, you know?
Yeah. I liked, does Metroid Fusion count? Because that came after Super Metroid.
Yeah. He said don't count any of the post-Castlevanias. He didn't say anything about the Metroid, so go ahead. Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, that was good. I liked Guacamelee. That was a Metroid game.
Yeah. And that was a fun one.
All right, anything else? I think we...
I didn't play this game, but you guys should check out Dead Cells. I heard someone wrote a glowing review on IGN about it.
I actually played Dead Cells. Like, I couldn't beat it. It's so frustrating when you lose all your stuff when you start over.
That's permadeath, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, you start from the very beginning.
You have to go back and pick up all your shit.
But. No, you don't. There's nothing to pick up. Like, you just find random things, and you have to hope that you put together a good arsenal by the time you get to the end.
Yeah, you described the game to me. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to play that. That sounds like
it's frustrating.
I don't want to deal with that shit.
No, thanks. That's a pass.
Fuck that. All right. He also asked us what our favorite video game weapons were. Well, we answered that before, so we don't need to go through
guns.
That.
Next.
Yeah. The fucking chainsaw from Gears of War. There you go.
Yeah.
Lancer. The boob shot from Gears.
Yeah. The
shotgun from Gears. Anything
the hammer of Dawn.
Yeah. The gun.
Oh man.
The only good thing from Final Fantasy VIII, the gun sword, you know? That was awesome. all right, my man Ronan in the house. All right. Okay, do you think this is a good question. Okay, do you think the perception of calling yourself a gamer today means others think you automatically do streams and or Let's Plays? Almost seems like it's an unspoken requirement to qualify as being a gamer now. Oh, my God, thank you for asking me this question, because I haven't been talking about this on the show because the opportunity came up. I'm really fucking annoyed by this. Now, this is exactly what happens to me now. When I tell them what I do, oh, so you stream? Like, you professional? You're making money? You going, you know, like, no, what the fuck? No. And this is like the newer version of when back in the day, like 10, 15 years ago, when I used to tell people I was a gamer, you play Warcraft? You know, we're like, no, I don't play fucking World of Warcraft. You play Call of Duty? No, I don't play that. You play Madden? No, I don't play that.
You well, know? you technically do stream sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do, but I don't do it like professionally. Like, these guys assume that that's all you fucking do all day, every day, you know?
Well, I mean, I think you also got to look at it in the context of the way they see the way that stuff is now. All they do see on TV and on YouTube is these sorts of people. You hear, you know, you hear about all these, you know, what's his face, PewDiePie and, you know, stupid ninja guy. You know, you hear about those people. That's all they hear.
Exactly.
You know? So they automatically think that's the way it all is, mm-hmm. as opposed to being like, okay. Also, I'm sure if you said you worked in games, like if you worked at a magazine, that even that is a little bit foreign now, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, the thing is, you know, think about, you know, that, you know, tie it all together. That's exactly what it is. Basically, you know, even though I was getting asked about different games back then, it's the same thing. Whatever games are in the zeitgeist, that's what they assume gamers are, right? You know, mm-hmm. oh, you play Fortnite. Oh, you play this, that, or the other thing, you know? But, mm-hmm. yeah, I've noticed that a lot.
Call of Duty? You shoot.
Yeah, you shoot, yeah. But, no, I've definitely noticed that within the last 2 years, whenever I tell people what I do or what I'm interested in, they're like, oh, so you stream all the time? You're always playing games in front of people? I'm like, sometimes I do, but no, that's not what I do.
That's not where the work is. I mean,
exactly.
You know, it's funny because also that situation is also kind of it's also a sort of rare thing to be successful at that.
Yes.
Yeah, as many as there are people out there that actually stream, there's only a handful of people that can actually say that they really make a living at it.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
The trick to it, and at least for YouTube, is just to be consistent, give up anything else in your life, and hope everybody click the like button so that way it always pops up to the top, and then eventually you'll just keep getting juggled around at the top. You know, like a speed bag, because as soon as those people stop, they take a week off or something.
Yep.
You know what's interesting? Like how, like, I guess for the lack of a better term, stingy people are with the like button on YouTube. Because, like, think about it. Like for example, you have an episode that gets, like, you know, for one of ours, like 150 like views, right? And like two or three likes. I'm like, why didn't, if you guys like the video, click on it. But people are, mm-hmm. I remember somebody I saw on Twitter was talking about, like, yeah, no, like, I don't give out likes like that. I'm like, just click.
I click on anybody. If I watch a video, even if I don't like the content, because that's the other thing I noticed. Some people said, well, I don't like the content. Let's say if someone's talking about a certain game, I'm like, and it's like, yeah, I don't like the game, so I'm not going to like him. Like, yeah, but like the fact that he took the time out to play the shit that you don't want to play, and mm-hmm. he's breaking it down. So mm-hmm. that's when I give a like, not to the game, but I like the reporting of the game. Respect for that. And so I click a like. Don't hurt me any.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that.
The reason why I think I can understand why people wouldn't do it is because once you like a video, you have your own. I think it's still the same. Let me check on YouTube.
What, that and it'll pop up in
the algorithm.
But if you're not following them,
not only that, but you also there's also a tab of videos that you liked. So if you want to keep sort of like a repository of videos that you like, you can just like them, and then you'll have them in a playlist on your YouTube page, so you can go back to them whenever you want to watch them again.
Interesting.
Well, you could also just put them into a favorites list.
That's what I do. What
I do is, or I'll just add a video to like a watch later.
That's what I do. The watch later.
You know, yeah, I'll do a watch later. Or if I didn't do something or like whatever, I can just go in my history. And then view it there. I'm like, oh yeah.
My thing is, I don't want people knowing what I hit like on, so I just don't hit like on anything. Just play it safe. You're
stingy with that like.
I am, but because I'm trying to save my job, you know.
No, wait, so that's public for you?
Oh yeah. I made it unpublic, but I still don't do it. Just on the off chance somebody says, oh, he liked that video, and then a mob will come after me. I'm not taking a chance, you know. I'll tell you more off air, obviously. But Chris, I think you know what videos I'm talking about. you know. Yeah. But yeah, no. I have noticed that going back to the question, I haven't noticed that in the last 2 years. Everybody assumes I'm just a professional streamer now. Because you're right, Manny. When I tell people I'm a journalist, they look at me like I have a third head. Like, yeah, like what? Video game journalist? What the fuck is that?
I mean, I also feel like it's too big of a word for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would say they would probably be a little bit more like, oh, okay, I get it. What if you said, oh, I work for a magazine, but really,
maybe I should say that. Because here's the thing, and okay, and I guess
just
it's
say
like
you work for a website.
That's I guess. I actually lately just started saying just writer. Like, fuck it, I'm a writer, you know? Because I noticed, okay,
it's a simple thing, yeah.
It is, but the thing is, like, because if they say video game writer, they assume I make video games, like, actually, you know, write them and shit.
Yeah.
So I had to say journalist, and they're like, huh? What do you mean journalist? It's like I can't win with my job description.
You gotta find the right word to explain for them without them being sort of confused.
Yeah,
because you're sort of using a foreign word for regular people.
Yeah, exactly. Like games, journalism does not compute. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, I just started saying writer. Like, but then you get questions. What kind of writer? Video game journalist. What is that? So I can't win. You know.
I mean, you could also say I write for a website, a video game website. That could also be good.
I should say that. Oh, what do you mean you write for a game website? You make games?
You make games? Yeah. Like, here we are. We're going to get this.
I thought people from New York minded their own business.
Yeah. No, these are people from outside New York, man. Nobody asked me in New York, you know?
Well, no, I mean, it's like the way it usually happens is you don't get asked that by people in the street, but you do get it asked by the people that you know, maybe somebody in your family, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. You know, the family, forget about it, you know?
Yeah. So
no shit.
So yeah, you don't like. It's not gonna just be like, like some guy don't walk up.
Imagine
up
walk.
Yeah, he walks up and goes, "Yo, man, what you do for a living?
What you do?
I'm a games writer. You,
yo, you write games. Write that game.
Write that game. You know, man, the writing in the Red Dead game. That game was whack. You know what?
Yo, and I'm gonna punch you in the face. I'm gonna take your money because I didn't like that game, and you wrote that shit. Game.
And you wrote it. I blame you for it.
You bad. Yeah, you get jacked in the streets and shit just for telling somebody.
Like, what the fuck just happened?
And then you write that in, and then you make that into like a video game, and then you make a lot of money. You know?
No. Then you write a piece about that. You know what? You know, the day that I told somebody I was a video game writer, games writer.
God. All right, man, let's move on to the next question. Okay, if you were to buy a discless console without the disc tray at or around the current generation's price point, what would you expect the hard drive size to be?
One to two terabytes. If it's discless, I need space. And obviously, they know that I'm going to be doing everything digital. Mm-hmm. You're pointing me into the digital direction by removing the disc tray. So come on now.
But you still have to install these games anyway, so aren't we pretty much living in that kind of scenario? We just use a disc to install the game.
Yeah. Oh, the disc is just for the key. That's all it is. It's pointless.
Well,
a lot of people don't realize.
No, Carlos, you're right.
But you're extracting the data.
Well, I mean, that's why I stopped buying this. I'm like, what the hell's the point? I still have to install the whole thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no point to owning discs, at least for me.
It's not like what people think, where it's like, oh yeah, well, I could just grab a game off the shelf and put it in. It was like back in the day you could. Now you try to do that, it's going to say it needs to go online to get a patch. It's unplayable.
Yeah, right. Some bullshit. But yeah, in general, 2 to 3 terabytes. You know, like you need that. One terabyte is not enough anymore.
Good luck getting 2 or 3 terabyte SSD in the next gen.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be interesting, man. I can't wait. Some people are gonna get pissed.
Yeah, right. $800 consoles, man. Michael Pachter, man.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first, man.
Yeah. So do we all agree on that? 2 terabytes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
That would be a dream.
Yeah.
You know, right now if they're going SSD, they're going a different direction.
Yo, imagine they come at you with a 500 gig console again, bro. Oh, fuck. Man.
Of course, yeah. I could see them doing it because they're going to be like, hey, we got a bunch of USB 3.0 ports. Go ahead, knock yourself out.
Plug and then play the game slow again, you know? Because think about it. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, no, this is going to change the subject a little bit, but it's kind of on topic. All right, so Remember, we had a, I think it was me, Tony, and Chris somewhere had a discussion with someone on Twitter. Like, we were fighting about the storage space on the Switch and how that the storage space will get filled up pretty quick. Yeah. And that person said, "Nah, that will never get filled up. It'll take years."
Years. Fuck out of here, man.
That ain't aged well, man.
Yeah, right. We got to find that tweet.
Yep. Got receipts.
Oh, man. All right. Moving on. GMegaForce 123. But there's a caveat. His sister is asking his questions this week. So shout out to his sister, man. She's a gamer, too.
Shout all right.
Sister.
GMegaForce 124. I don't know what her name is, man. So her first question is, do you think that your game knowledge makes you enjoy games less? I've been playing Alan Wake recently, and it's been an interesting experience. There are a lot of elements to the game that I feel are very obvious, overused, and repetitive. I should say that I'm still enjoying it. I'm just commenting on certain aspects here. If it were up to me, the game would be entitled Alan Wake's Adventures in Obnoxious Player Leading. It has gotten me wondering if the only reason that I notice these things is that I have played a lot of games with those mechanics. That's a good question. You know, like, if you were to go to it, like, I'm wondering if she were to go to Alan Wake, like, less knowledgeable about those mechanics, would she like it more? But, and then that would also go back to us. Like, if you play a game that you're like, oh, I've seen all this shit before, would you like it more if you haven't seen that shit a bunch of times? There's a case for it, you know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's like that with movies and stuff. But we know slasher films because you've seen one, you've seen them all. You know, so I'm like, oh, I know what to expect in this. And that same applies to certain games. You see in a game, you see a side scroll little guy jumping around. Like, oh, I already got an idea what this is. Forget it.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess in a way, but you could say that about any medium if you think about it, you know. Like, if you do enough of it, you're going to notice patterns. Everything has a pattern, you know. And things that work in marketing, they're all, marketing is always going to push specific things out there, you know.
For me, I mean, like, for like a lot of that stuff, it's like that's also part of the established sort of status quo of what gaming has been kind of evolved to. I mean, to be honest, every single game started doing this because people were all confused and from original gaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, even you, like, you know, like on Bloodstain, you're like, yeah, you know, it doesn't tell you where certain things are, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not the type of game it is. It's not supposed to lead you to everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way that the only reason why a lot of games do it now is because they kind of spend all this time on these things and they kind of want to show off and be like, hey, you could go over here, you know?
Yeah, but it's other things too, like, you know, hack and slash mechanics, shooting mechanics. You know, a lot of games use the same things over and over and over again.
They use the same thing, use familiar controls and familiar things that we know as a thing. But they still, to be honest, at the same time, they also have to be wary. There are people out there who don't know these things.
Yes,
and that they have to kind of, you know, also give them the thing. That's why every single game has a fucking tutorial level at the beginning of the game, right?
Yeah.
You know, Contra didn't have that shit. They didn't say, oh, hey, this is how you shoot. This is how you jump. It didn't do that stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, Contra had something that games nowadays don't have, an instruction manual.
Yeah, exactly. And an instruction manual. But
now they point you to a .com.
Yeah, no, now they just do it all in the tutorial, you know?
Hey, remember where was it? Destiny, where it had all these cards and all these bios, and I was like, go to a website and read this shit.
Learn about the lore.
The reason why that they did that is because they stripped the story from the game and they put it online just because. Oh, okay, we need to give them something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I definitely think that it's just because of the sort of tropes that we've kind of sort of evolved over the years, and because there's certain things that don't exist and some things that do exist, some people, you know, get frustrated when they're not led along, you know.
Yeah,
they like, as opposed to I don't think you can fully release a game like the way we got games when we were younger.
No.
These days, because people would just get incredibly frustrated by the fact of like, wait, you can just walk anywhere and just do what you want. Everybody, every single game does it. Even as much as big as and open as Breath of the Wild is right now, it also does a fair amount of handholding, right? In that first valley place. In fact, that first valley place is the tutorial level.
Yeah, that's Fortic Island. Single, yeah.
It shows you every single thing that you need to do. It shows you all the different stuff that you can do all in that one area. So it's like, even that.
Yeah.
So I mean, the only way to do that is the only way to kind of pull away on that sort of handholding thing is to get gamers, you know, modern gamers to accept that there are some things that they need to figure out on their own, but then they'll get pissed off about that.
Yeah, you know? And even reviewers get mad. It's like, oh, what the fuck? This game's not telling me where to go.
Why isn't there this? Or why isn't there that? A fun example is, I'm going to use Bloodstained again. So when I first started playing Bloodstained, right, I was playing it before the patch because I backed the game, right?
You backed that ass up?
Yeah, so I backed the game and I got the game early. So I was, you know, doing the usual thing, and I remember how these sorts of games work, right? So then later on, you know, maybe the day later, it got an update. And then I noticed there was all this extra shit that wasn't there. That kind of like stuff that keeps track of things that I didn't see before. So like, you know how like in the game you get all these treasure chests start, you know, when you get close to a treasure chest, it shows up on the map.
Yeah.
When I was first playing it, it never did that.
Crazy.
Yeah. All that stuff that they added all these additional, maybe modern sort of gaming sort of tropes in there to kind of lessen the blow a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. When I first started playing it, it had all that shit in there already.
No, I didn't see that. In fact, some people were complaining that it did some weird things to people who were actually played it early. But I never got that far where it really mattered that much.
Do you think that sort of the opposite effect works for a game like Nier Automata? Like, I feel like people who play video games a lot and are really knowledgeable about games would like it better because sort of all the aspects that the game has. It's like,
that's a good point. Same thing with Horizon Zero Dawn, right? Except for Brett, obviously. But Horizon Zero Dawn is a perfect example of that. It has everything that you know, but done in a very excellent way. So you appreciate it more because of that. Because it takes everything that you're familiar with and just makes, like, just polish it to a sheen. And you're right about that. Like, I didn't think about it, but you're right. Nier Automata, that's a gamer's game. That is a hardcore gamer's game, you know?
Because if you think about it, like, if you give a casual person Nier, I don't think they'd like it as, like, maybe not even at all.
I don't know because it's kind of a weird sort of thing. I feel like if you even gave it to me like years ago, I still probably would have been able to be like, yeah, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, Manny, but you were a gamer years ago.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like even when I'm like in the beginning of gaming, you know, like even like, you know, Super Nintendo era, even something like that. If you would have given me that game, I would have still gone through it.
Yeah, no. But in the Super Nintendo era, that game would have been amazing.
Yeah, it probably would have been amazing.
Yeah, but Manny, you still would have liked it back then too, you know, because that you like, you know, because Nier Automata is, to me, it's like a love letter to old games, and you like old games, so you would have liked it back then. I mean, think about it like this, right? Like, Nier Automata, if it was a normal game, right, it would, you know, the first level would be, you know, 2B just hacking shit, right? How does the game actually start? It's a fucking Ikaruga game. It's like, whoa, this is crazy.
The game doesn't even give you that. Like, in other words, it doesn't give you the main gameplay that you're going to be doing through the game. It gives you a totally different game.
See, and what's interesting, old games used to do that shit all the time, you know? But modern games don't do that anymore.
Well, a lot of games don't tend to subvert. They don't kind of throw a monkey wrench into their gameplay loop, right? So, like, you know, games like if we talk about the original Contra, right? For the arcade game, that game had all kinds of crazy shit. Like, you, one minute you're a side scroller, one minute you're a back view game, another minute you're a top angle game. You know what I mean? So it's like, nowadays, if they were to make that sort of game, they would just continue to make it the same way. It'd be like a side scroller or something. You know?
And here's another good example. Remember when Riku streamed Final Fantasy VII? He was annoyed that there's so many different gameplay things in there. You know, we were used to that shit, but like modern gamers, like they, you know, when they play a game, it's just one type of experience and that's it. Like, you know, because think about it. Like, one minute he's doing the RPG stuff, then next he's racing a motorcycle or riding a chocobo or doing all this other stuff. You know, games don't really do that type of stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. Well, they kind of, you know, they give you. They, I mean, I feel like also Final Fantasy VII is a good example of a little bit of something that was kind of happening in that era of gaming where they were trying to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah,
because if you go, you know, to the previous ones, like they didn't have that many side things. Like everything was mostly directly connected to the things that you were doing, right? So, like, I don't remember you being able to to raise Chocobo in the previous Final Fantasy before it, Final Fantasy VI, right? You know, a bunch of other things. I think they added all those sorts of things in there to kind of give it a little something extra, because I feel like they were trying to appeal to a little bit more of a wider audience by putting these these essentially distractions within there.
Also could be technology too, like, oh, look at all these toys we have to play with now, you know. Mm-hmm. It was cool. All right, next question. Do you think people, this is a little bit of an interesting question, do you think people that sit and watch streams for hours are depressed? There are people that have pretty much replaced TV, movies, and other traditional forms of passive entertainment with just watching streams or other people playing video games. I think those types who watch streams as their primary source of entertainment are super depressed. That's kind of generalizing right there.
There is a study that you know, this is slightly related or unrelated, but there is a study that says that a lot of that sort of, you know, internet culture, you know, like reactionary internet culture, is actually the fault of people wanting to connect with people, and the only way they know how to is by you know, riling people up, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, what does that have to do with this?
I'm sorry. It's totally unrelated. Anyway.
Oh, okay. No, if it's unrelated, that's cool. No, because that is interesting. I was just like a little confused. I'm like, wait, what does that have to do with this?
But they also say the chief reason why they do this is because of loneliness. So, you know, angry people who leave angry, you know, people who leave angry tweets and all kinds of other stuff, they're not exactly angry, fully angry as to the thing that they're tweeting about or the things that they're reacting to. It's really that they're looking for somebody to agree with them.
Yeah. So what do you think about the question? Because she's assuming, or she feels
I do think, you know, there is maybe something to that a little bit, because if you think about it, and the way our culture works right now, we're so supposedly so connected, we couldn't be any further apart from each other, where we're literally watching somebody play a video game back in the old days, you could be in the same room with your best buddies playing a video game with them or watching them play. I think a lot of people see these YouTubers as their friends, and that's why they're so willing to give to them. So I do think there's just something too, that maybe the people that are watching this, even though they may not admit it, they might be lonely.
Well, it's like that for everything. It's like you keep watching, you look at all these actors that have stalkers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like people feel they know them because they've seen them in movies and TV shows and read their articles, and they piece everything together in their mind. They know the daily activities of this person. I'm like, wow, we have all the same things in common. That's my best friend. I need to go visit him. You know, and
man, that sounds like some misery shit.
You know, happens.
But I think we, you know, as you know, in general, people have this thing that we need to be with other people, you know, even if we don't want to admit it. And I think that is a lot of this sort of, you know, watching somebody else do something is part of that sort of culture, that that trying to reach out to somebody. But
plus, if let's say you're alone, you don't have many friends or whatever it is, even if you don't, it's not even a friend thing, you're just alone and you're like, man, I wish there was someone I could talk to, something, you go on there, these people are playing live. So while you're there looking at a screen, maybe by yourself searching the web, there's other people live playing and chatting, and you could jump in and you don't feel alone anymore.
But yeah. I don't know if I'm so willing to say that literally millions of people that are watching this sort of stuff are all lonely. You know what I'm saying? Some probably are. I'm not going to deny that, but I don't think the vast majority of them are. I think they're watching it for fun.
At that level.
Here's the thing. Like, it would be a generalization. I don't think every single person out there who watches these streams and such sort of things, watches other people play video games, are lonely. But I do think that it does. That can be one part of why they're watching.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Yeah. I just don't think I think we're just agreeing from different angles, actually, because, I don't think the vast majority of them are depressed people. But I do agree that if you are depressed, you probably would feel some connection to somebody that's strange, because, hey, it's like, hey, it's a friend, and they're going to react to me whenever I say something. You know?
Exactly. And I mean, you know, you've seen, I mean, there's people that have also gotten pissed off that they don't say anything. you know, like write something and they're like, what are you ignoring me? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And then there are people that kind of take it too far. Like they donate a lot, you know, send all this other stuff. And then they expect the streamer to reciprocate. It's like, and then when they don't, you know, they get mad. It's like, I'm giving you all these things and you're not even trying to be my friend. It's like, doesn't work like that, man.
It's a sort of a weird way of buying friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, somebody that you, this person that they, somebody they admire and they're giving it and they feel like they should get something back for it.
Yeah. Chris, what's your take on it, man?
Well, it's tough to say. I don't want to diagnose anyone just because they have interest in streams. I mean, the phenomenon of television, like how many people would, were addicted to like the talk shows or game shows, you know,
yeah.
and watching that. If they watch hours of game shows, are they depressed? I don't think so. It's like it's just a form of entertainment, and everybody's different. People are looking for different things. I partly agree with Manny. They identify with some of the streamers, and they kind of get in their mind that that's their friend, you know. And the streamers kind of cultivate that too, where they say I love you at the end of the stream, or oh, reach out to me, whatever. And then you think, oh, I'm talking to my buddy. So there's that. But I wouldn't go so far as to generalize all of them as, oh, you're depressed because you're watching streams for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just entertainment like anything else. Maybe people just like, that's what I want to
yeah.
watch.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's like, what makes that different than watching TV or going to the movies or reading comics or playing video games? Like, what makes it different?
Doesn't. I mean, it's
if you were to say that, they would say those people are depressed too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I'm not seeing that. Like, obviously, it's a different form of entertainment, but the activity of like doing it for a long time, it's still the same no matter what the medium is, isn't it?
You too much, you're depressed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You breathe too much,
you're depressed.
I mean, you know, also you could say the same sort of situation for people, you know, even before, you know, video games were really a thing, like where, you know, you had people who read a lot of books or a person who read a lot of, you know, comic books and, or, you know, other things. You know,
exactly.
You'd say that person was lonely. I don't know.
Yeah, all
we play
of them?
Hours and hours of video games. I could play them all day. Yeah. Oh, I'm not depressed. But, I just that's what I like to do.
Yeah, man. Exactly. You know, different strokes, man. Different strokes. Yeah.
But that's also how it's portrayed in the media. You know, it's like, oh, it's the lonely guys that are always in the comic shop, never seen a girl. You know, it's like, oh, if you're always playing games, get out of your parents' basement. You know, it's those stereotypes. That trigger with all of that, and they're stuck on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I guess don't really generalize because, you know, I'm assuming you play a lot of video games. I don't think you would like it if somebody said you're depressed because you play a lot of games, you know? Different strokes, man, different strokes for different folks. Because the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
But it also,
might be right for you.
They're never bringing that shit back.
Also, the thing is that, like, again, people also have a very different, you know, these things can also be coping mechanisms for deeper problems, you know what I mean? Well, like you have these sort of, you know, even something as simple as collecting something, you know, to a point can also be considered a coping mechanism for a deeper issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that could be for anything, not just streaming. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah. I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Carlos, man, are you back?
Yo.
Yeah. What's your take on this, bro?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to, like you guys were talking about, it's hard to diagnose millions of people with just one, you know, like one thing. You know, it's a lot of people do it for different reasons. Some people feel lonely. Some people just like watching crazy people yell during a stream. Some people are interested in the actual game and feel like they don't want to play. It's just, I think it's just several different reasons why people watch streamers. Like just because there are people that do, that might be depressed or that might have these feelings of loneliness doesn't really mean that most people are.
Yo, Carlos, man, you watch too much anime, man. You depressed.
Yo, man, I've been depressed since I was a kid, man.
You know, you binging One Piece, man. You depressed. You know, like that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just make that type of generalization. You know, that's ultimately my point here. All right, where the fuck are we? Black Metal Gamer. So his first question we've already answered before. It was just basically asking what game would you refuse to play again because of outdated mechanics. We answered that a while ago. I think he probably asked us that question. His drunk ass probably forgot, you know? I told you to slow down on that shit, bro. All right, so his next question is, what games from last gen and this gen do you feel are underrated or hidden gems? So it's like newer games, like, but it still spans like, what, 15 years now, I guess? But yeah, so what games from the last 15 years do you feel are underrated? Basically PS3 to PS4 era.
Underrated?
Yes.
I mean, I would say Gravity Rush from the Vitas to the PlayStation 4.
There you go. I got another one for you, man. Enslaved, Odyssey to the West, man.
Oh, yeah, man. That was a good fucking game,
great
man.
Great fucking game.
At that platform. Rockstar table tennis.
Of course.
I keep telling people, and I remember times they were like, "Oh, that's bullshit." And when they would play it, they're like, "Yo, this is a real game." I was like, "Yeah, it's a real game. Surprise, surprise, bitch. What did you think it was?" And like, I thought it was some bullshit ping pong thingy, you know. It's like, no, this is a real game. Look, the guy's sweating. Oh shit. I'm like, yeah, let's play. You know, so That's a one game that I think it's overrated. Because if it wasn't, people are like, oh no, we got credit. If it's underrated, we would have had sequels already by now, mm-hmm. and we didn't. So obviously, a lot of people didn't pick it up.
It's a weird one. It's one of those ones. It's a weird one for Rockstar, I would say, because it doesn't follow their usual thing. Like, you know, you think of the Grand Theft Auto. I mean, even Midnight Club is kind of also considered weird for them now.
Yeah, right? It is.
Yeah, and well, remember that was only done to. As a just they were just testing out different mechanics and stuff for the Grand Theft Auto series, mm-hmm. and then they made that little side game there, and Microsoft said, hey, we want that for ourselves, we'll take that, and that's how it became a Microsoft thing, eventually coming to the Wii. But that was just one of the sharing things with Microsoft. But besides that, I think that's why it was never considered a full-fledged game, you know, that should have been out there. It would have been up to Microsoft to do something like that to go forward with it.
Manny, what was the name of that Ghost Detective game?
Murdered Soul Suspect.
Yeah, that was a fun game. You know, that was underrated.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, that was a weird one.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, it was how many games do you see are mystery games nowadays where you're trying to solve something? Yeah, there's not really much of those. And this one's just like wacky because it's like, you're a ghost.
So I guess you just made me think of a game that I don't. Is it underrated? Alan Wake?
They made a sequel.
No, they didn't
make a sequel. They had.
They
like
got the story. The other ones. The side story things that they did.
The DLC, but there's no sequel to the game.
I don't know. Would that be underrated?
It was. Here's the thing. Like, I would say that the game was. It's on the level of like a cult classic. I don't think it did incredibly well.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna allow it. Because I think it was a high-profile game, but I don't think it sold well, you know?
No, I don't think it sold well.
Yeah. Chris, go ahead.
I was going to say Dragon's Crown. I think it's underrated. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give Brett's answer and say Divinity.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
A good game. I thought you were going to give Brett's answer and say...
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Fallout 76.
Fallout, no.
Or Absolver.
Absolver. Or Sea of Thieves.
Oh, that'll be his other game, yeah.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves, the other one, you know.
I'll toss another one out there, and probably most people won't agree with him. I'm definitely sure that that Brian wouldn't agree with me on this, but I think the Order 1886 hasn't gotten a fair shake.
I agree with that. I think that's underrated.
Yeah.
I had a good time with that game, and I feel like the gaming landscape at the time, I wouldn't say it was, I think they were just being a little bit too judgmental on that game, to be honest.
I got another one. Was, yeah, go ahead. Okay. No, I was just going to say, you know, and this is Microsoft's version of the Order 1886 in my eyes, Rise, Son of Rome. I liked the game. I thought it was fun, but people just shitted on it.
It was just so repetitive. That was the problem. It was fun for the first hour, and then I'm like, I'm still doing the same shit.
Yeah, I enjoyed the locations, you know, even though they played very fast and loose with fucking history. I'm like, that didn't happen, you know, but I liked it. Roman shit was fun, you know. What other games were underrated?
I was actually interested. That was one of the ones that I was actually really interested in on that one.
Yeah. It is the same mechanic over and over and over again, but I enjoyed it, you know?
Let's see what else. PS3 era stuff, right?
Yeah, PS3 or PS4, you know, take your pick.
I'm gonna put the Puppeteer on that.
That's a good game. Yeah, Puppeteer. I'm gonna say yes, it is underrated, but I felt the game was too long.
Yeah, like, it kind of stays around longer than it should.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm like, at some point where you kind of got to later in the thing, I'm like, I think I'm getting it, you know?
Yeah. But it was a good game, regardless. It was a very good game, very well done, very fun platforming game. Very unique, too, you know? There's probably a bunch of games out there. Echo Chrome, why not? I'll throw that in there. Just
Lost cause. Odyssey.
Lost Odyssey. I haven't played it, but I heard that one's a really, really good game. There's a bunch of games, man, especially from last gen.
An underrated game. I mean, though I haven't played it, but it has been considered to be the original Nier, was an underrated game.
Was that from PS3?
PS3 era. Yeah.
Okay. Now that you mentioned Nier, Manny, I'm surprised you didn't mention Red Dead Revolver.
That's PS2 era.
Was that PS2?
Yeah, that was earlier.
I would say another version of that would be probably Gun, because that was a 360 game.
They ported it 360, and that was good. That was, in fact, that wasn't underrated. Everyone knew that was better compared to Revolver.
I don't agree with that, but
that was awesome.
I never liked that game, Gun, man.
Oh, it was so good.
I was like, what is this shit? It was so good. But right, I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, any other underrated games?
Underrated.
Manny, I'm surprised you didn't say Little Big Planet.
I wouldn't. Would I say that's underrated?
I don't think that's underrated. That game. Yeah, I don't think it's underrated. It got two games. No. Then. Yeah,
Adam, you hate that game. Chris, you hate that game.
Yeah, really? I didn't like it. But a lot of people did, so I thought maybe it didn't get enough shine.
Yeah, no, I think that game. It got two sequels. It's not underrated.
I wouldn't have put that on there.
Yeah, that's not underrated. That's rated. You know. Yeah, what's going on, Mighty Nerd in the house?
I'm having trouble thinking of more.
Yeah, we listen.
I know a good amount of PlayStation 2 games, but
yeah, no, but he didn't want us to go that far.
Three,
maybe and, next time.
Oh, man, we can't name anything from Dreamcast era.
No,
can we?
No, got to be PS3, PS4.
I got one for Adam. I think it's Adam. Adam, did you play the Saboteur?
Yes, I like that one. That was a good one.
There you go.
I love that. I didn't know it was underrated, though, because it sold well. People liked it, especially when there was a code to make the girls over at the burlesque club naked.
Oh, shit. I got to get this game now.
Right. You put that code in, and then you can get lap dances and all kinds of craziness over in France.
I have another one. Mm. Fucking, I forgot the name. The Rockstar game. Detective game.
LA Noir. That one.
I don't think that's underrated. That one's
they got a re-release on that one.
Yeah, he got props. That game, rated. You know,
that even won a film award. Remember
that? Yeah. Oh, did
for
it? Oh, shit.
Yeah, for the because they were using real actors.
Yeah.
Remember the guys from Mad Men and stuff like that. And since they had to do their face mapping, they were like, technically, they're acting the role. It's not an animator doing it. The facial expressions are of the actor. Mm-hmm. So then they won some awards.
That's awesome.
Yeah, then the studio closed.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, Bond. Yeah. What was it? Team Bond.
Yeah, Bond, over in Australia.
Man. All right, and the last questions are from Drunken Demon. That name may not sound familiar, but it's actually Brian. People.
He's a drunken demon.
Yes. Brian always says this when he's like not on the show, and he knows it's not going to be on for a while. He'll ask questions. So his first one is. Okay, you're having a dinner party, and you can invite any three people related to the gaming industry, including developers, CEOs, streamers, and journalists, past and present. Who do you invite?
Let's see. Hideo Kojima.
Of course.
Tim Schafer, because he seems like he'd be an interesting person to talk to. David Jaffe.
Oh, okay. So those three guys then.
Yeah, because I feel like David Jaffe just say some crazy fucking shit. Tim Schafer would be funny as hell, and Kojima would just be like sticks and ropes, talking about some crazy philosophy or something he's got.
All right, Chris, what about you?
Come back to me. I don't know.
All right, Adam.
Wait, what? They are only from the gaming industry?
Yeah, yeah. Any three people, past and present, from the gaming industry that you would love to have, like, for dinner, like three of them, like, in a room together, who would it be?
The dude that was in charge of Sega, remember the console wars?
Oh, yeah. Tom Kalinske.
Tom Kalinske. Yeah. I would like to have him. I would like to have Cliff Bleszinski.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have
Cliffy B. Yeah.
Miyamoto.
All right, that's three. There you go. That's three. You got
Gibson.
It. Debbie Gibson.
Trent Reznor, and just discuss how we could recreate Quake. Yeah, to recreate the Quake soundtrack, because that was awesome.
Hold on, do you want to see Debbie Gibson and Trent Reznor do a collaboration?
That would be also break your love. Boom, boom. I just can't break your love. Boom,
boom. Oh,
okay. He's even. Oh, man. All right. Carlos, go ahead, man.
I think even though I'm not as big of a Metal Gear fan as most of the people here, I pick Hideo Kojima because I do follow him on Twitter. And that dude does a lot of cool shit. Eats a lot of good food, man. I want to do that.
That seems to be a common thing with if you watch an Asian person. They always take photos of their food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of my friends that are from Asia, that's what they do a lot.
I could never. I mean, here's the thing. Like for me, I eat my food too fast to take photos of it. It's already gone by the time I'm, you know, by the time I think of.
Yo, man, it'll just be pictures of plates, you know.
Yeah, nobody wants to take a picture of an empty plate with scraps of food on it, right?
So number two would be Gabe Newell, because I have so many fucking questions. I'm like, where the hell is the rest of the franchises? Like, what happened to everything? Why don't you release them? I'll try to convince them to release everything. You know, just release the three package, man. Call it the what did they call it? The green box. Because they released the orange box, released the green box with all the threes. And for my third guest, it's gonna get a little spooky. Yeah, why not? I'll get what's her name? Ikumi Nakamura, man.
That'd be awesome.
Make it fun
with Hideo Kojima. So wouldn't it be like Mrs. Hideo Kojima talking to Mr. Hideo Kojima?
All right, for me, I want. I'm laughing right because it's hilarious. Peter Molyneux.
Okay.
Sean Murray.
Oh god.
Damn.
And Phil Fish.
Dude. Oh. Damn, that's like the overhyped dinner.
Yep. Like that would be insane. Like I would just sit back. I wouldn't say nothing. I would just sit back and watch because you know some crazy shit is gonna be said and some shit is gonna happen, you know?
I don't know. I mean I feel like Phil Fish would probably just be Star Trek struck and not say anything.
You know who would complete the? Well, it's not the trifecta, but the
four-fecta.
Four-fecta. It would be fucking no. God damn it! I mean, he's not 100% on video games, but he's done work with that. But he's a director. Is James Cameron?
Oh my god!
That would have been a fucking yep.
And I'm gonna say it, and the shit'll be hosted by Hip Hop Gamer. Oh, man.
It's like. Yo, so you gonna?
He goes up to Peter Ball. You spin the belt.
He's like, yo, Pete, are you gonna release a new Fable game?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm not working there, but I can't never rule out anything.
Yo,
son, he's gonna release a fucking Fable game.
It's an exclusive Hip Hop Gamer. All right, Chris, you ready now, man?
Yeah, you know what? I go really old school. I'd invite, what's his name? Howard Scott Lincoln, the guy who developed E.T.?
Oh, shit.
I want to talk to him.
He wouldn't want to talk to
you. I would invite Nolan Bushnell.
I got a question about Nolan Bushnell. Current or old school Nolan Bushnell?
No, old school.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I want 70s and, Bushnell.
Yeah, and if I could dip in time, I'd invite the former president of Nintendo, the old guy.
Oh,
the guy who was president of No. You know, is it Yamauchi?
Yamauchi, the old school guy.
Oh, the guy who was president in the 80s. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would love to talk to those guys, you know?
Yeah, that would be insane, man.
He'd probably Yamauchi would be like, it's like, Nolan the Bushnell! How dare you! Because, you know, because Nintendo sued, what was it? Sued Atari for Tenzin. Because remember, Tengen. Tengen reverse engineered a Nintendo cartridge and it started releasing Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And they literally, they said they just did it on their own. But no, they actually just totally just remade a cartridge. And that's why they got sued.
Well, Nintendo sued everyone.
They did something they weren't supposed to be doing, which is essentially just remade a Nintendo cartridge as opposed to making something else.
They tried to sue Blockbuster. They sued Galoob for Game Genie. They sued everybody.
Man. But they won with Tenzin.
Yeah, well that was illegal. You can't reverse engineer the shit. That's clearly stated.
Yeah.
Copyright infringement, Nolan Bushnell.
There you go. That'd be interesting dinner. Be like, so did you really crash the video game industry by yourself, dude? Was it all E.T.?
Oh, man.
Well, the funny thing about that guy is that he's the guy who made E.T. is actually somewhat proud of the work because you ever heard how long it took him to make that game?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah. 3 fucking weeks, man.
That's all they gave him.
That's all they fucking gave him. I'd give that dude credit for just even making something that fucking works time.
He deserves to have he deserves more than a meal. I don't think that guy gets enough credit. He gets a whole bunch of shame heaped on him. No one man could have crashed the video game industry. Let's be real.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, it wasn't his fault. By the way, he had bosses and stuff telling him to make this shit. He makes it. It doesn't sell. And then, like, everyone's like, oh, he made the worst video game ever. It's like, did you look at the situation surrounding it? They're already collapsing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. Yeah, E.T. was not going to collapse the industry. It was already going. Like, if E.T. didn't exist, the industry still would have collapsed. You know.
Yeah.
People are crazy. All right, and the last question here, Brian's trying to get us in trouble with this one, man. I'm just going to ask it. Okay, if Sony released a special version of the PS5, which costs $1,000 and could suck your dick to a good degree and with no maintenance, would you buy it? Brian, man,
remember the last time I bought that rubbish? That shit can hurt. You can't play with those things, man. You can't trust anything. But that sometimes you can't even trust humans around that shit.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say no to that one. I'm not sticking my fucking cock into the machine. That's crazy.
Yeah, what's up with that?
You'll pull it out. You won't be a man anymore. You're like, chill, son. No, I'm not. Yeah, Brian, you're crazy, man, trying to get us in trouble over here, man.
What kind of question was that?
That's a black metal gamer type of question, man. Yeah. And again, like we always say, this show is dictated by you. Unless you have any more questions for us in the comments, we're going to wrap this bitch up.
Wrap it up.
We ran out of questions.
So, yeah, it was.
Yeah, we ran out of questions. Oh, well. Yeah,
anybody
what's up?
Got anything? We can vamp a little bit.
No. What's there to vamp about? Like, oh, you've been playing. Everybody knows what we've been playing. That's the other show we do, man. That is the go ahead.
I don't know. I was gonna say I so wish I could be playing that Bloodstained game, man.
I'm 70%. I get 70% of the map now, man.
Damn,
the boy's doing it, man. And I'm not even playing every day. I'm playing like maybe every other day for a couple hours.
Play a little bit. Let's explore the castle. I hear you can also fight the bookkeeper guy.
Oh, really? I haven't fought him.
Really?
Yeah, you can. That guy. Funny thing about that guy is he's played by the dude who played Alucard in Symphony of the Night, and he kind of looks a little like Alucard.
Yeah, he's also a vampire. Which
he's
is
also kinda a vampire. So there's a book in the game where if you take this book and you bring it to a certain location, he goes, I told you to bring every book back when you're done. Uh-oh. And then you have this big old fight with him. And then another fun secret area is they call it the 8-bit nightmare. And it's a place that's behind a wall and it has a picture of Igarashi. And then there's a bookshelf and you go into the bookshelf and then it takes you to like an eight, essentially a pretty much a recreation of Castlevania 1, but just with crazy difficult enemies in it. Like 2D enemies.
Oh, they didn't put the Blood Moon game in there? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, they didn't put Curse of the Moon.
Curse of the Moon, yeah. Because that's kind of 8-bit-ish, you know?
Oh, yeah, but it's like that sort of same idea, but your current Miriam, but with these goofy, like pixel art monsters, and you can get shards from them.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man, so we're going to wrap it up. So, oh, yeah, we forgot, man, the graphics. Oh, God. The fuck is this shit? All right, here is the writing questions schedule. So, and here is how you submit your questions. So, step one, you join our Discord. And again, always, as always, shout out to the Discord fam. You guys are a lot of fun. Always keeping it lively in there, you know. But you're also respectful, too, which is good, you know. Can't be having no craziness. So, that's a lot of fun. Everybody gets along in there. So, that's step one. Step two. Right there on that server, you go to the Throw Down Your Questions section. You leave two questions, and we'll answer them on next week's show. You already know, man. You already know. All right, so thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the Throw Down Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throw Down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throw Down Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Time's joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Later, people. Jesus.
And Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody. Don't blow your fingers off on 4th of July, please.
You know. Oh, by the way, quick disclaimer. We'll be on Wednesday night, people, because we'll be celebrating something on Thursday. I don't know what it is. Might have to do fireworks. Might have something to do with beer. Hot dogs, all that shit. So we'll be here on Wednesday, man. They got dogs. All right. Later.
Peace. Later.